I suppose that on the blessed day of Christmas, one must drink to the health of Mr. Scrooge, even though he is odious, stingy, wicked, and unfeeling, and badly dressed.
To the founder of the feast, Mr. Scrooge.
To Mr. Scrooge, he'll be very merry and happy this day, I have no doubt.
No doubt.
Cheers.
Tis the season to be jolly and joyous. Fa-la-la. It's Katrina Porter.
Hi, Anna Serene. That was nice.
Yeah.
Aw, it really is Christmas season.
I thought you'd like that.
Yay.
Welcome to Split Happens, everyone else.
Welcome, everybody.
Each week, Katrina and I discuss a movie both of us love. However, only one of us gets to say anything good about the movie. They're the pro of the episode, which means the other is the con and has to attack it. Our one rule is the con only has to attack during the synopsis. If they say anything at all good about the movie during that time, they incur a penalty. They have to say something good about a movie that they hate, which the pro gets to decide. So this week, if I catch a rule break from Katrina, which I'm pretty sure I will, we're going to hear this sound.
I'm in a glass case of emotion!
And I don't know if you remember from the last episode, but I said, yep, oops, that was my foot. I'm slightly moved. But I said, if you can avoid a button push, I would buy the next bottle of Religion.
Oh, for this episode?
Religion tequila, yeah.
Mm-hmm, okay, and then do I still owe two? Aye, shite.
I cannot quite explain how excited I am to do this movie. It's difficult for me to put it in words, and I'm feeling very emotional right now. I think you should drink.
I'm feeling joyful and triumphant.
Yeah.
And I don't, I never, oh, never, usually never, often don't feel that way when I'm the con.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's because it's the start of our Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Christmas.
What are you going to do to this movie?
Well,
if you have to.
If I have to, I am going to turn into two grumpy old assholes and sing a ridiculous song that doesn't rhyme. And then I'm going to harass a crotchety rich man who is responding to unseen others.
Okay, yeah. I definitely follow which one this is. Mostly because I already took notes for it and we've discussed it 800 times.
Grumpy old men.
No. Although, love that movie.
Oh, that's what I took notes for.
Uh-oh. This is going to be fun. No. We are discussing 1992's The Muppets Christmas Carol. I have heard from quite a few people when asked which is the best version of A Christmas Carol, many people say this one.
Oh, yeah. Get this shit out now, Katrina. You drunk hoe. Get this shit. I can totally see that. Because speaking of joyful and triumphant, that is this movie.
It's so wonderful.
It is so fun.
And, you know, the last time we did a Christmas Carol movie, it was Scrooged last Christmas.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit of a bummer with some of the trivia.
Yeah, because we love Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm. We love that movie.
And we love that movie, and sometimes he could be a dickhead.
A little bit of a dickhead.
Bill.
However, We love this movie.
Yeah.
And this trivia is the opposite of that. It's going to bring a tear to your eyeball.
Well, first of all, I'm an easy crier, but do you say anything about Michael Caine, how he feels about this movie in your trivia?
A little.
Oh, okay. But then not, I won't say that.
I mean, not a ton.
Oh, because I thought about him being... Listen up. I struggled on what my happy ending was going to be for this movie because... Well, because I just... I was really trying to do the perfect one. And I thought about picking Michael Caine because we love him. And so I was looking up stuff about him. I don't know anything about this movie, but when I was looking up stuff about him, this is his favorite character that he played.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Okay. I have a little bit of pre-synopsis.
Thank you.
Santa Claus.
Being you.
Oh. The budget for this movie. Do you want to guess?
Okay. 1992? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that the budget was $30 million.
That's definitely what it should have been.
Oh.
What it actually was $12 million.
What?
And they were kind of lucky to get that. It ended up grossing about $27 million, which probably doesn't seem like a lot for this movie. In all fairness, it was going up against Aladdin. So...
Actually, $27 million for a Muppet movie seems like a lot.
That's more than double the budget.
Right.
They made a profit. This has become hugely successful through... Yeah. You know, through home movie and, you know, syndication, not syndication, what am I trying to say? From showing it on, they show it on TV every year. I'm sure. But this is now beloved, but they really, really had a hard time getting to this point because, well, first of all, they had a hard time getting it made because Jim Henson had passed away 2 years prior to this. This was the first movie they did after he died.
Oh my God. I regret so many things that are in my notes now.
Oh no. Okay. Oh no. The movie is dedicated to both him and Richard Hunt. And he had recently passed away right before its release. I believe he's the voice of Rolf, the piano playing dog, which was one of the first Muppets that Jim Henson never did. It was like Kermit and Rolf was like, you know, old school.
Can I say something? And I guess it's a disclaimer. This movie is an absolute joy. And if you love this movie because you're a good human and you're trying to be the con of it, I'm just telling you right now, the things I wrote, I am a good person.
You have to attack a Muppet movie.
I have to attack a Muppet movie, and I went deep into the worst parts of my soul.
Oh no, I can't wait.
And I was cracking myself up, but now about dear Jim Henson, I feel kind of bad.
I went on a rant about a ginger baby the last episode and how it's an abomination. I mean, I stand by it, but
might come up in my notes as well.
Oh shit! This one came about. Because I believe Brian Henson, who ended up directing it was his son. I believe, I don't have the number in front of me, but I think he was like only 28 years old.
Labyrinth had already come out.
Yeah.
And Brian Henson had a lot to do with.
But he'd never directed.
Right. So this was his big.
Yes.
Okay.
And he was very apprehensive. I mean, he had just lost his father.
Yeah.
All of this had fallen into his hands. I mean, I don't know if, I assume not everybody probably knows, you know, everything about Jim Henson. He died at 53. It was a young death. He died of step. Like a staph infection.
Now, is this like a Bob Marley thing where they didn't believe in doctors? Like, Bob Marley could have easily lived if he would have just gone to a fucking doctor.
It's a myth. I mean, kind of. I mean, it's not. It wasn't like
that. Not a myth about Bob Marley.
No.
Okay.
And this wasn't like a religion thing. It would have been closer to that. I think he felt like he just kept putting it off, pushing off going to the hospital. Oh. And by the time they went, it was too late. By the time he was actually able to get there. So, yeah, he died very young.
What a freaking tragedy.
It really is. He's a beautiful human. And so, I mean, Brian Henson was taking on this huge responsibility. I think he thought, you know, this is massive. They hadn't even made a movie since, I think it was The Great Muppet Caper. Right. I think that was the last time Takes Manhattan, whichever one was the last one of that. That's the last movie that they had made with the Muppets.
When Charles Grodin hurt Miss Piggy?
I think so. So it had been a second.
So thank God they did this to erase that memory.
To write that wrong.
To give Miss Piggy some respect.
Yeah. Doesn't she deserve at least that?
Yeah, she does deserve to cook for a bunch of people.
Okay. All right. Hold on to that. I should have trivia about that. I think Brian Henson's agent I think it was his agent called and says, I just made a sale for you. And he said, he had called ABC and said, I want you to do something with the Muppets. And they're like, what? And he says, oh, Christmas Carol. So his agent was the one that kind of came up with the idea. And they went through all kinds of different thoughts about it, that it was going to be a complete Muppet cast. I think Gonzo was going to be the ghost of Christmas Future. Miss Piggy, I think, was going to be present. And I can't remember who was going to be past. Robin, maybe? But at some point, they kind of figured out that they could do the story pretty close to the book, fairly seriously, and have live actors. And then that's when they started looking for, you know, a live actor.
Oh.
Michael Caine came in pretty quickly, but like George Carlin was a very close contender.
I love George Carlin, but I'm glad. But I love Michael Caine.
I mean, at that point, he was doing Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, 92. Okay.
It would have been, I mean, he's not unfamiliar.
Yeah.
David Warner, I know, was one of the, I know, he would have been fantastic too. But Michael Caine came in and loved it. I mean, he like really did love the idea of doing it. And he came in and just said, I'm not treating these like Muppets. Whoever I'm speaking to, I'm going to treat them as like they're a Shakespearean actor.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I think that's probably why he loved it so much. And it really is quite wonderful. I wish I would have gotten a little bit more information. They ended up, I know they were having a difficult time with funding and stuff like that. They were trying to go off of an extremely small budget. And then the studio, if I remember correctly, sent, kind of a heavy to a sense to go and, you know, find out what's going on, make sure that everybody's on budget or whatever. And it was the strangest thing. It's kind of the opposite of what usually happens. He went there and came back and says, they need more money.
Oh.
Right. He's like, you wouldn't believe the stuff that they're doing on this tight of a budget. So a lot of things were still tight. I'm sure you'll have some thoughts about the Ghosts of Christmas Past. But a lot of that was, you know, because of a limited budget as well. So they did an awful lot with it, but it is a beautiful movie, beautiful music. I love everything about it.
Did you know, this is not about this movie, but did you know that, Michael Caine saw a woman in, like a commercial. I think it might have been like a coffee commercial or something, like a Brazilian commercial or something. and he became like enraptured with that person. And so he went to Brazil to like find her, this person that he saw in a commercial, found out that she actually lived close to where he lived in London. And then, so then like came and then met her. And
oh my.
Married her in 1973. Her name's Shakira, and they've been married ever since.
No way.
Yeah. He saw her in a commercial and just was like...
smitten?
Yeah. Just like, oh, my, like, yeah.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah. And I remember, and our brother Sean has mentioned it, like in one of his Oscar speeches, it was like the way he said her name, it was just like, do you remember this? It was just like... my, you know, it was just the way he said it. It was like, he loves this person.
Last of all, to my family, my daughters, Dominique and Natasha, and my incredible wife, Shakira.
And they've been married for over, you know, for a long time, 50 years.
He had said when, he had said something about like, that over the years he had seen his friends, you know, appear on the Muppet Show, and he's like, I was never invited, and it was kind of sad, right? So then he was happy to take on this. He's like, I'm so excited, I get to play this big part, and it's with the Muppets. How wonderful!
He's like, I get a whole movie, motherfucker.
Right. Tim Curry was one of the people that was considered for this as well,
and he would have done the dancing so much better.
He's not Terrence Mann, but he ended up doing Treasure Island, Muppets Treasure Island. Tim Curry, not Terrence Mann. Let me see if I have any more. No, I think that's going to be it for pre-synopsis.
Do your worst. Play the fucking song.
Fa-la-la.
Let the games begin.
Our movie begins with the streets of London.
No.
You're huh?
No. This movie starts with the opening credits, and they take forever. That's gone.
You don't think that people deserve recognition?
No, I don't.
Really?
Bah humbug.
Wow.
Question.
Oh, God. This is going to be... your soul is going to be like tar.
Who does the music for this? The third grade tabernacle choir?
You think that they wrote the music for this?
Seems pretty pedestrian.
Does it? Is seem pretty pedestrian.
Yes.
I don't know who does the music. Oh, wait, I did see that. It's our old friend Paul Williams, who also wrote the music for Bugsy Malone and wrote a little song that you might know called The Rainbow Connection.
Well, great. Now I feel like an asshole. That is a con against this movie and you. Bringing that up.
Hey, you take ownership of your own asshole. Wait.
I do.
That didn't come out quite like I wanted. I really wish I would have looked up or written down the stuff about Paul Williams. He had just gotten sober. He had been that little fella had quite a few years of debauchery. He really put them down. So this was kind of, I don't think it was his first thing back into with, you know, creating music with sobriety, but I believe the first thing that kind of came to mind for him was it's in the opening song. It's the, there goes Mr. Humbug, there goes Mr. Grimm. If there, you know, were a prize for being mean, the winner would be him. He's like, so he thought about it. He's like, oh, that's good. So he thought, I've got this. He had met up with Michael Caine on the set at some point, and he said he was so excited to meet him, to Michael Caine. He's like, I'm so excited to meet you. And Michael Caine's like, what do you mean? We spent an entire weekend together in 1978. But yeah.
Lots of cocaine.
Alcohol. Booze.
Booze, yeah.
It was booze.
Yeah. Okay, so what you said, the movie starts a different way than I suggested?
Yeah, the movie starts, like I said, on the streets of London and with a song. And it's that first song I was talking about with Paul Williams.
You know what happens during this song? You know what we see?
A lot.
A lot. But one of the main things that I noticed, these people are litterers.
The Muppets.
Well, yeah, you know someone slipped on the banana peels that lady threw out the window.
Banana peels are highly compostable.
Holy shit.
What?
Do you think it was Tiny Tim and that how he became walking impaired?
No.
Do you think he slipped on a banana peel that litterer threw out?
Maybe he slipped on a banana peel and then hit the ground, which hurt his lung. And then also he somehow managed to contract TB, because that's most likely what was wrong with him. You know.
TB, terrible bitch, throwing banana peels.
This is going to be an episode where you're like, okay, but he's a whiny little bitch.
Welcome to my notes, everybody.
Holy shit. This is going to be fun. We see Gonzo, and he is Charles Dickens. And he has a little pal with him, and that's Rizzo the Rat. He's there for comedy relief.
The animation is terrible in this. They look like puppets.
They are. Well, they're not puppets. They're Muppets. Get that trademark. Get TM. Get your TM correct.
Oh, Muppets or puppets?
Muppets are like the Kleenex to if puppets are just tissue.
Oh.
Why do you have your clue book out?
Dear clue book. Anna is inconsistent in her ability to classify the felt-clad perps in question, suggesting that the audience won't know that they are puppets if you change the purr to mmm.
I can't breathe.
Also, this Rizzo the Rat fella looks familiar.
Where did you get your clue book again?
Check like crimes. For Mr. Rizzo the Rat, also known as Ricardo the Vermin.
Oh, because he's a minority. That's why you were suspecting him. Because
he's a rat.
So you have something against rats.
That one.
You know, the rat coalition is going to be all over your ace.
Come at me, motherfuckers. Yeah. Clue book.
I already told you I take ownership of my asshole. Just try it. Oh my God. Did you see the picture that they showed recently? And it was like doctors are baffled, but it's actually like this is a real thing, not like, you know, clickbait. The doctors were baffled when they saw it was like a colonoscopy and there was a fly. In there, a fly.
What? Like someone's asshole?
Yeah. They're like, how did a fucking fly get in somebody's, you know, poop chute?
Right.
Their shit slide.
God. Oh, God.
Their turd tube.
Oh, yes. Ooh, good one.
I think I can keep going.
It's happening live here, folks.
Shit straw.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a fucking fly. So I think they eventually figured out that maybe that it didn't come from within that person's body. It probably came in from the tubing that they were using to go, huh?
So somebody did not sanitize their...
Somebody's going to get a strong talking to.
A lawsuit. Okay.
I would be so furious.
I would too.
After we see Gonzo, who's Charles Dickens, and Rizzo the Rat, we see Ebenezer Scrooge. And he shows up and he is played by Michael Caine.
How are you going to make him the bad guy? Michael Caine the bad guy?
Yeah. Doesn't he deserve, after all of the roles that he's given us, doesn't he deserve to have some range and be able to play a character that is undesirable or one that needs redemption?
What about Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
What about it?
Hit range.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This sounds like he was like a baddie that, you know, had a redemption story, right?
I wish it was like Gerard Depardieu or someone that I didn't care so much about.
Can you imagine how fucking awful this movie would
be? God.
I bet his contract would say like 16 bottles of wine.
Right.
Every morning.
Right.
We wouldn't be able to understand a goddamn word he says.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I love that they made Kermit Bob Cratchit. That makes me very, very happy because it's Kermit. And there's no more beloved character of Jim Henson to be the heart of the movie. And Bob Cratchit is the heart of A Christmas Carol. But right?
Ooh.
I almost got you, bitch. You shook your head. Yes, I probably should have given you a...
No, I was thinking that these Muppets can't sing for shit.
What? Yes, they can.
No, they're all pitchy.
What even do you mean?
They're all pitchy.
You're pitchy. Your yeah. face is pitchy.
Yeah.
It isn't. Your face is beautiful.
Thank you. I moisturize. Well, the whole town is talking shit on the guy as he's walking to work. No wonder he's grumpy.
In America, we talk to people all the time.
No. Look.
Yeah?
This is Scrooge.
Yeah?
He's walking to work, and these are the uppets. And you suck and you're a dick, la la la, ba da do. And that's not supposed to make him grumpy as he's walking to work?
I bet he doesn't have the, you know, the...
You think he has earplugs in?
No. I don't think he... I think he's singularly focused, and he has no time to look, you know, to pay attention to what's going on around him. I think he just wants to pay attention to the task at hand. So the voice of Kermit is a guy named Steve Whitmire. Is a guy named Steve Whitmire.
In this?
Yes. Because normally it would have been Jim Henson. And he was busy.
You mean being dead?
Sure.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It takes up all of your time.
Well, I don't want that.
No, Steve Whitmire came in. I think he was another one of the puppeteers. He'd done voices and stuff like that before, but he was going to be the new voice, and he was very nervous over it, as you can imagine. he says they didn't exactly sound like. He says the night before they were going to pre-record the songs, he couldn't get to sleep because he's like, I want it to be so good. This means so much to everybody. This is a really, really important. And he said he had a dream that night. He said he was in a building and Jim Henson was there, and he comes over to him and he said, you know, I'm Jim, I'm really nervous about playing Kermit. And Jim looked at him and he would do this thing where he would put his finger on his bottom lip like he was thinking. And he thought like that for a second, and then he just says, it'll pass. And then that was, he walked away. He says it felt more like a visit than a dream. It gave him the confidence to go in there and record. This is trivia, so.
It feels like it minimizes a lot of the work that I do with people to just say to somebody when they're anxious, it'll pass. Because if that worked, I would be broke.
Are you Jim Henson, though?
I have a pulse.
Yeah. even if in a dreamscape.
No, I'm not Jim.
If Jim Henson came up to me and he's like, it'll pass, I would believe it. Yes.
Okay, so you just made me feel bad about not being Jim Henson, because who is? That's a con on you.
Nobody is. There was the one and only, and he's gone. But he still lives in our dreams.
Wait, but I don't know,
like, if Freddy Krueger
trying to trap me about saying anything good about Jim Henson.
I'm not. Anything, you know, anything that has nothing to do with the movie. That's trivia.
Well.
That's really sweet.
R.I.P. about Jim Henson, because it is very sad that he's gone.
Yeah.
And what he created in general.
Yes.
That
yes.
world.
Yes.
In general.
Yes.
Was
like this one?
Nope. Although I think he took some artistic license with puppets.
Excuse me.
Yeah, by calling them puppets.
What the fuck is wrong with you? I talked about this in the previous episode about how his Muppets were unique.
Okay.
Since I mentioned Bob Cratchit, he works for I don't have to explain the fucking story of Christmas Carol.
No, everyone knows the story.
Oh, thank Christ.
Everyone knows the story.
Okay, well, Bob Cratchit is working for Scrooge, and then they have a whole bunch of the rats that are working at his place, and it's definitely one of our favorite parts. There's a point where he's like, you know, can we get some more coal for the fire? It's really, really cold in here.
If you please, Mr. Scrooge, it's gotten colder. Yeah. And the bookkeeping staff would like to have an extra shovel full of coal for the fire.
We can't do the bookkeeping.
Yeah, all of our pens have turned to inksicles. Yeah, our assets are frozen.
How would the bookkeepers like to be suddenly
unemployed?
And all the rats are like,
this is my island in the sun.
This is my island in the sun.
Oi, oi.
That's not a button push. I was responding to your layup.
That's true.
That's basketball. You know, I can't resist basketball, especially a layup.
Who should arrive at the door? But Scrooge's only relative, his nephew. You have something to say?
No. I don't. No, I don't.
His dear nephew,
George Soros.
Is your nephew Drew?
Anthony? He looks like... No, Anthony is... Anthony could actually be...
Clive.
Yeah, it's gotta be...
My dear nephew, Cleven.
Something real white. Drew?
Steve?
Steve.
Carl.
Dave?
My dear nephew...
Biff.
What the fuck? We have seen every single iteration of The Christmas Carol, I'm pretty sure. How do we not know this?
It's Biff.
His nephew.
Yeah.
Shows up.
Biff.
And I can't remember the actor's name, but I can tell you that we saw him in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Oh!
That's what you're like, I kind of recognized him.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I couldn't put my finger on it. I was like, oh, that's what he was in.
Yes.
That's really great. Next, a couple of people from a local charity show up, and they want to ask Scrooge for some money.
Uh-huh.
And it is the Muppets Beaker and Bunsen. How cute is that?
Uh-huh.
What?
No, go ahead.
Well, they want Scrooge to donate money. That's funny. That isn't going to happen. So Scrooge pushes them out quite unkindly.
Uh-huh. No.
And says bye.
What happens before that? And don't tell me it doesn't happen.
They say they give each other a hearty farewell. Say
no.
Bye.
No.
Maybe you'll change your mind. I'll see you later.
No. Cool. Beaker flips Scrooge off.
We have been debating this for years.
Is this a Christmas movie?
He does not flip him off.
Yes, he does. You know it. I know it. We all know it.
It's his pointer finger. The problem is that... Wait, what was that?
Nothing.
What was that?
Nothing.
I was too busy thinking about fingers. As usual.
I don't think I can say that.
Say it.
It was something that when we were younger...
Yes, we say all the time.
When some of us would watch this movie...
Mm-hmm.
Not me. You, actually, one of the things that you thought was funny about this movie was that that's what he did. You thought that.
Meow, meow, meow.
So when he flipped him off, you thought that was funny.
What did you think about it?
Well,
mm-hmm.
I question... Is this a movie for children?
Yes.
At Christmas?
Okay. Well, I will say, is my son a child?
Sort of. Kind of like a demon child.
But a child?
Yeah.
Okay. Has he flipped me off?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then it's appropriate for children. Anyway, he didn't know what he was just, he was talking from a place of anger. Fred! That's his nephew's name.
Fred.
I actually wrote in my notes, he did not flip him the bird. But after that, we get the cleanup shop song. He's like, he's gone. We get to clean up shop.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Bob.
Yes.
And I'm talking about the story. Mm. I'm not talking about this movie. I'm talking about there are parts of what I'm getting ready to say that are about the Christmas Carol story.
Okay.
Bob Cratchit advocates for the workers to have Christmas Day off.
Yeah.
Which in the story is a kind thing to do for your fellow employees.
Uh-huh.
In this movie.
Yes.
Those little rats are really quick to throw Bob under the bus when Scrooge is like,
you want the day off? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, the whole day? They're like, no, it's the frog's idea.
It's the frog's idea. Yeah, they're real quick to throw Bob under the bus.
So he was advocating. So the problem that you have with it is that he's advocating for these guys and they don't appreciate it.
It's like, I think. Yes.
Right. So you do remember that in the Christmas Carol, Bob is the only employee.
Not in this, not in some iterations.
What about, you mean like this one?
In some.
Like this one.
Others also.
Actually, I have no idea if there's other employees, but I can't imagine him paying any other employees besides Bob.
No, he did in the Berenstain Bears one.
You know what? That's actually Berenstain.
Okay.
It's one of those Mandela effect things. Everything says Berenstain, but it's Berenstain. STAIN. Isn't that crazy?
You are a stain. On a stain of goodness on my heart.
Thank you. This movie is a hug. This movie is a hug. When they sing the song and they harmonize. Tis the season to... Oh! In this particular song. I know we love it. I know we do. It's irresistible for you. It's kryptonite. Tis the season to be jolly and joyous.
Voila. That's not a button push. That's a song. That is not a button push.
It sure is.
I didn't say anything good about the movie. I did not say anything good about the movie. I was helping you continue the song so we could get to my next point.
If I started singing a song from a movie that you were the pro on, you would absolutely give me a button push on it.
I don't think so.
I think you did that. You tried to pull that in Grease 2, right?
No. Absolutely not. You didn't get a button push in Grease 2.
Sure about that?
I'm positive.
Oh. I think so. No? That one's on the level.
But do I have to do 2 for that? Because that's a trick.
No, because honestly, I think you're going to have more than one in this episode.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I do.
God damn.
God, I didn't want to buy another bottle. Religion.
Son of a bitch.
Okay.
All right. What?
Hey, Katrina Porter.
Okay. First of all, everyone loves that song now that I'm in it. Everyone loves that song. How do you have a song that has fa-la-la in it? Nobody. You heartless harpies. If you don't like it, go to therapy and not me because I'm busy.
To spread the news about peace and to keep love alive. See, you can't help it. It's just there.
Okay. So What do you want me to say?
Okay, I would like to hear you say something about... Why don't you give me something nice about Showgirls?
God dang it. You just gave me heartburn. But I just wrote your name in my clue book under my to watch out for list.
Ooh.
That is not... You know, and I know... And everyone knows that's not a good movie.
Hmm.
That's actually a terrible movie.
Yeah.
The writing, the acting.
Mm-hmm.
That movie, you know what? That movie had Paul McLaughlin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great actor.
In that movie?
He does the very best he can with what he has.
You know, they have sex in a pool in that.
Yes.
And I know how you feel about that.
So good. And I love Gina Gershon also. If I was into chicks, which as much, by the way, as I objectify women in this podcast, I'm not into chicks.
Yeah.
But I just think, you know, point out where,
of course.
Yeah, give credit where credit's due.
We can recognize beauty. We have eyes.
Yeah. And Gina Gershon is fine. I mean,
she is.
Yeah. She was sexy mofo. You know what? Gina Gershon played a really good bitch.
Thank you. There you go. Because I'm pretty sure she's a nice person in real life.
I think she must be.
I don't know. I have no clue.
I think she's actually really good friends with who played the Bride of Chucky? Lily. They were in that movie Bound together.
Yeah. Jennifer Tilly.
Jennifer Tilly. Yes. Yeah. I think she's like a really good person. And if she's a good friend to her, then I think she's probably a good person in real life.
I'll take it.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That evening, Scrooge goes to his home. And he is encountered by the first ghosts he'll see throughout the evening. And they get a song. Marley and Marley. Oh, what? Okay.
Before that.
Yes.
When Scrooge is eating by himself, this cheap-ass bastard, he is eating the biggest wedge of cheese I have ever seen. And you know how your girl feels about cheese?
I do. Yeah.
I will cut it. You know, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll knees and elbow your way to the...
A charcuterie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe he could help people out more if he wasn't giving himself a 5-pound wedge of cheese every night. And maybe he would feel like helping people more if he wasn't so goddamn constipated from eating a 5-pound wedge of cheese every night.
And that's it.
And that's it. I didn't even see any bread.
Well, later on, he actually talks about when this movie is very good about sticking close to the source material. He talks about that he doubts the ghost's existence because it just might be a digestive issue.
Maybe he's lactose intolerant.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, Jacob and Robert Marley show up and they don't sound Jamaican at all. That is a con.
You know that they're not part of the Marleys from Jamaica.
What?
Well, first of all, they're white, and also they're Muppets.
They can't steer it up?
I don't think so. No.
Well, that is a con.
But they do seem Irie.
This is not Irie. They are not Irie.
They seem often like they're always laughing.
Mm-mm. No. Also, they would fucking rhyme better.
Do you have anything else before you get to the song? Oh, okay. So... as you said, they show up and they get to sing a song. We're Marley and Marley.
This song is silly.
Avarice and greed.
They don't rhyme.
You know what I like is when the one lets the other one sing and he just goes.
He's just trying to air hump him or something?
No, he's like, take it.
He's buddy. Like, we're Marley and Marley. We don't know the words that, so we just go, ooh.
Change. Oh, come on. Even the chains sing.
No.
That's
cute. There's no like three little birds.
They didn't have drums and stuff.
That's a con.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Times were tough. That was the whole point of the Christmas Carol. That's why Charles Dickens wrote it.
You don't think things were tough in Jamaica and they didn't understand?
They understand. Okay. All right. I'll concede it.
Thank you.
I like that it's played by Statler and Waldorf. That they chose for Jacob Marley to just split it up into Statler and Waldorf because there is no better representation of Katrina and Anna than Statler and Waldorf.
I might get to that.
I'll get back to them a little bit later. The Marleys tell Scrooge he will be visited by three ghosts thrice. It is unreal how much I relate to Rizzo the Rat in this movie. He hates heights. Always has jelly beans. Hates the cold. Short as fuck.
Listen, I am not in the business of speaking ill of the dead.
Yes.
Especially Sir Jim Henson.
Where are you going with this? You need to tread super fucking carefully.
And I'm also not in the business of critiquing people about something of which I know nothing about and have no skill in, like making movies or puppets. But could we just, for a quick second, I know we need to move on, talk about Gonzo's nose?
Yeah, we can do that.
Why is it a big purple penis?
It is not. His proboscis is elongated and curved because he's an alien. They went over this in the movie. This is canon. How do you not know who Gonzo is? He's an alien.
What do you mean it's canon?
This is well established.
In what?
They talked about it. They talked about it in, was it The Great Muppet Caper? They've absolutely established that Gonzo is an alien.
Think that there's something disturbing about his nose? Like, oh my God, is it Tuesday? Like, when you see Gonzo, like, do I have something to do? Oh, fuck. There it is.
Not with that curved thing. That seems like a lot of work, and I don't have time for that.
Okay, well, I think some people probably see this, and they're like, oh boy, I know what time it is.
Some people liked that curved action, you know? I don't know, plug two holes, get one free? I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't do that. The first ghost shows up, and it's a little glowing girl. And she's the ghost of Christmas past.
Stop it. What is with her face?
Uh-huh.
I would be immediately scared straight and would peace out of the rest of the celestial visits.
I promise to donate all of my monies to charity.
It is.
You want my money? Absolutely.
Right.
You want my cheese?
First of all,
I've got nothing but cheese. I'll give you all my cheese. Not all my cheese. I need some of it.
Not all of it. Come on. Take my arm.
The little girl.
But I wouldn't be in this position anyway because no. Scrooge is a dick. But
you are very generous of spirit and of, you know.
But if I was a dickhead, all it would take is seeing this little floaty, weird fucking face.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, just don't skip to the end.
Yeah.
What do I need to do now? Go buy a turkey? Okay.
Yeah. Tell the other ghosts they don't.
No. You don't. They don't. They get the diet off. They're good.
That's one of the things you want me to do, right? Give the rats and Bob Cratchit the day off.
They got
it. The ghosts can have it too.
Yeah. Everyone gets the day off. I will go work for everyone.
Pay day off.
Yep.
You can have that PTO.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. You just magic me. I will actually go float around some other crotchety motherfuckers.
She's like, don't you want to see your past?
No.
Not really.
No.
Not really. I remember it pretty well.
I would like to see, me, in Jamaica when I was fit. That'd
no, be fun. We're going to show you when you were in school and you were abandoned.
No. No, no one wants to see that.
It's important for your redemption.
No. Shut up, weird face. Floaty face.
Sounds like you still need you have some growing to do, Katrina.
No, I don't. I just bought everyone a bunch of shit. Everyone's got AirPods.
It's more than about money. It's about generosity of spirit.
Okay, they get the day off. It's gingers. I bought them all a soul.
Ew. What?
Yeah, even the gingers. I took care of them, too.
Oh my God.
I was really impacted by that floating face.
What a pointless task. So that, the person that does the voice of her, she is, well, first of all, she's also the voice of the little, like, in the opening song where it's like, it shows the mice and it's like, Lisa, I want some cheese. That's also her.
Oh, the creepiest part of that first song?
Are you insane? I heard you quoting that earlier. Uh-huh. She's also the voice of Red on Fraggle Rock. She might even be the puppeteer for that too. She also has like a really cool career. Like she ended up doing animation and all kinds of stuff, like besides puppetry. But yeah, she's Red from Fraggle Rock, who I know you love.
But she didn't tell anyone that she was this person in this movie because they'd be like, oh, you were the creepiest fucking part of that movie.
She's also American. That surprises you, right?
No, actually, it doesn't. A weird white person floating around creeping everyone out is an American.
British people are weird and white and floating.
No, not like uh-huh. Not like USA.
No way.
No way.
The little girl does show him his paws. Your salvation, then. And his upbringing was a fucking drag. And after his school years, which we see the eagle. I thought that was really, really funny, too. But we get transported to his old boss's Christmas party, and his boss is Fozzie the Bear. And I am positive you love this scene, because this, we get the band, which has Animal on drums, and the part where Animal is trying really hard to play a calm tune.
I'm more concerned about, like, who are those bitchy queens up in the balcony? Because they remind me of someone.
That's the Marleys. That's Statler and Waldorf. And those are
you. Do they have a podcast?
Yes, they do.
Oh, it's you and me.
It's called In the Balcony. And it's also known as What Happens.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I love them, too.
At this time in the proceedings, it is a tradition for me to make a little speech.
And it's a tradition for us to take a little nap.
Scrooge is going about this all wrong.
What do you mean?
Because he's like, oh, spirit, oh, please don't show me anymore. And if it was me,
yeah,
I'd be like, show me all the spirits.
Ooh, Katrina Porter, master of psychology.
No. Tequila?
Yeah.
Rum?
Yeah.
Gin?
Spirits?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, just get all the spirits.
I'm not even mad at you for this take. I love this take.
Yeah. Don't, I don't want to see. No, if I'm going to have the spirits, give me the spirits.
So, in a sense, something, if I'm taking this correctly, you were upset because the ghosts that they have are ghosts of like a little girl, and then we see a couple others, and not like an actual like spirit, like bottle of rum or tequila. Like that should have been the spirits that would convince you that Christmas is worth.
No, I'm just saying, if you're gonna bitch about it and you're gonna go along for this ride, take a roadie.
A booze roadie?
Grab your fucking...
Are you encouraging a DUI?
But he's not driving. He's floating around with the weird face.
Oh, you mean like when he's in his ghost, when he's in his spectral form.
Right, yeah. Grab your solo cup.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm with you for sure. Yeah,
take some spirits with you. Don't bitch, adapt.
It would be so easy to float onto like a beer bong because, you know, you don't have to, gravity wouldn't be like an issue.
Because then you could be like you could lean into being a dick. You'd be like, well, I got my spirits, you know.
Hmm.
See, missed opportunity.
So you're saying that they should be more dickish?
Yes.
Somebody still needs to learn a lesson. Sounds like just donating a whole bunch of money is not enough for you, Katrina Porter. Sounds like you need to be visited by a couple more ghosts. This ghost girl, that's the ghost of Christmas past, takes Scrooge to a Christmas with his old boo, with his old sweetheart. And there was a song, and I remember it very clearly, but they've cut that out. Because they felt like it's too boring for
kids.
Because
everything that has to do with this old boo is boring, 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 boring. Give
me more spirits. I'm sorry that your heart is hardened and soldered.
It is not.
Well, after that shit, we get the jolliest ghost of all.
No.
The ghost of Christmas present.
Okay, is this second ghost as terrifying as the first one? No.
No.
But does he have the repeater going on? Yes. And that is annoying. And that might be worse.
How dare you? I am sitting right here. How many times did you have to tell me about Cyndi Lauper not singing that song? Are you suggesting that? Was that annoying?
No, you're not a ginger. And this ghost looks like he isn't allowed 10 feet from a school, like legally.
Like, where's that To Catch a Predator guy when we need him?
You were so wrong. You were so jaded. Your poor clue book. I bet even your clue book is like, girl, touch some fucking grass. Like, get to know some people. Trust people. Like, not everybody is a killer or a rapist or, you know, or a ne'er-do-well.
No, my clue book says that we don't trust this one because has the repeater. He has that look. Every time he looks at children, his eyes go boing, boing. And also, he's a ginger. Rest my case, Your Honor.
So I just fucking realized something.
That he's a ginger?
Not only is he a ginger, the Ghost of Christmas Past is a ginger. And that leads me to believe that the Ghost of Christmas Future is probably also a ginger. We can't see their hair. But it has to be assumed, right?
Okay, but isn't that kind of a flaw of the story? Because if they're trying to save people's souls, but they don't have souls themselves?
Yeah, because they're, you know, they're like, it's too late for us, but we can help you.
Okay, but are the part where the pervy ginger ghost.
Don't call him pervy. He's a very sweet man. You know what?
He can't live near a school.
Okay, take the pervert stuff out of your mind for just a second.
Okay.
I want you to tell me this. In your mind's eye, close your eyes. Seriously, you tell me with a truth, not a falsity. Would that Ghost of Christmas Present give a good hug? Like a good bear hug. You know he would. You know he would.
And then he'd be like, ho, 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 let's get away from your parents.
What's wrong with you? Who have you become?
I'm sorry.
Are you this jaded? This close to Christmas?
Okay, but, okay, the song that he sings?
Yeah, and they dance too.
Why did those little puppets singing look like Cabbage Patch Kids that were recently discharged from the burn unit?
I love the one. Is it the one that's got the jingle bells and one like smacks the other one? Hey, you know, those kids have alopecia. Alopecia choir.
You just let me know when we get to the part where Scrooge is dancing.
Oh, that's right here. Here we get a song where the Ghost of Christmas Present is singing about it feels like Christmas. And they get to have, you know.
It feels like Christmas. Kids sitting on my lap.
What's wrong with you? It's the singing of a street on a car, warm by the fire. Wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas.
On my lap.
It's like, fa-la-la, on my lap. Why do you have to make him in a pedophile? He seems like a sweet old man. Shame on you. Come here and know me better, man.
Right.
He's a man, not child. Come here and know me better, Billy. The ghost shows him the streets of London, and they're singing and dancing, and that's fun. And then he takes him to his nephew's house,
whoa, whoa, rough. Whoa.
What?
Scrooge dances like he's trying to dislodge something from his butt without letting on that he's prairie dogging it.
I'm not going to lie, and I'm not bringing politics in this, but he straight up dances exactly like Trump dances.
He does dance like Trump.
It's all arms.
It's arms and elbows, but also there's sort of like a kind of a butt thing. It's a little...
Well, that's the thing, and I don't want to stereotype, and especially, you know, like, we are obviously white, but I think it's fair to say that white people traditionally tend to dance from... the stomach up, right? It's a lot of this, you know, a lot of that.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, just doing this.
Uh-huh.
You can't help it.
Okay, go ahead into Fred. What's going on with Fred?
He's playing a game.
This game is really mean. These are supposed to be the nice people.
This is like straight out of the Christmas Carol. Sorry. Blame Charles Dickens. Blame old Chuck Dick. They do play a game, and it's not very nice. And they, but you know what? you don't get to, you can't have it both ways, Scrooge. You can't be a absolute curmudgeon all the time, every year, and expect people not to gossip about that or like make snide comments about that. That's just part of family. Whenever you're not in the room, family's going to say something shitty about you. No, I'm cutting that up, obviously.
Okay, but Fred went to like his like place of business and like, oh, I love you, Scrooge.
Yeah.
Keep me in your will, blah, blah, blah.
He didn't say that.
Here's a boring ass wreath. And then he goes home and talks shit about him.
He didn't show up. Scrooge didn't show up like he normally doesn't.
He said he wasn't going to.
Well,
he didn't RSVP.
But Fred keeps trying. Boy, isn't that sweet. What a good nephew. It's his only relative, and Fred recognizes that, and he's not ready to give up on him.
Maybe Fred and some other people should quit trying.
Really? That doesn't sound very Spirit of Christmassy. Sounds like somebody needs some more spirits.
Sounds like somebody needs some self-preservation.
After that, it's Bob Cratchit's house. And we get the glory that is Miss Piggy. And Miss Piggy, obviously, is voiced by Frank Oz. And thank God he was part of this. He was hugely important to Brian Henson. Because Frank Oz had already directed. He was already like, I don't know if he was already directed. He was already fairly experienced. I think he was a comforting presence.
But they weren't family, right? They just were close.
Frank Oz and Brian Henson?
Or Jim Henson. Frank Oz and Jim Henson.
I feel like you're setting me up.
I'm not.
Oh, no, okay. No, they weren't family.
No, I'm getting ready to say a lot of terrible things, okay. But I'm just asking a question.
No, they were were people that collaborated for forever and ever. So I think he recognized that Brian was probably, this was a massive undertaking with a lot of pressure. I think the thought, oh my God, can you imagine if they released it now? People would have torn it apart because they'd be like, he doesn't sound like Jim. This isn't how Jim would have wanted it. This is so, I mean, of course they want to change stuff. There were
like 12,000
TikToks. Yeah.
About the Illuminati and...
There would be YouTube videos about all the differences between this and that. I mean, there probably is, you know, so... It's a good thing, but Frank Oz was a very important person to be there. And he, of course, is the voice of Miss Piggy. And they put the two little daughters, Bettina and...
Belinda.
Uh-huh. And I think that was the way of kind of like... Because Frank Oz had a very specific way of performing Miss Piggy. And they had that as kind of like a... Not making fun of, but, you know, like jibbing him a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I feel like you have something to say about this.
No, or have we gotten to Bob and Tiny Tim walking home yet? Or?
Oh my God.
What?
Okay, well, I will tell you that there were two shots in this whole movie that were incredibly difficult. Uh-huh. There was the one of him blowing out the candle when it was time to close the shop because he's a Muppet, he's, you know, an inanimate creature, and he doesn't have breath. So, like, being able to do that was difficult. And the other one was being able to do something that hadn't been done before, where they're showing a Muppet or a pup, you know, walking, you know. So, in CGI really wasn't available to them. I think it would have been newly used for...
Well, 92... Terminator 2 was out already.
Right. But it would not have been usable, especially not somebody with a $12 million budget. So they had to use like a revolving drum, like that he was walking on or whatever. It took 10 puppeteers to be able to do that. And the harmonizing that Kermit does with Tiny Tim is incredible. And if you say anything differently, I'm going to hit you in your face.
Huh? Oh.
'Tis the season to be jolly and joyous. Fa-la-la, with a burst of pleasure we feel it arise. Fa-la-la, it's a season when the saints can employ us. Fa-la-la, to spread the news about peace and to keep love alive.
Well, oh, I don't want to hit you.
I'm just going to say it.
Oh, God, no.
I don't think Tiny Tim really needs to use those crutches.
Don't do this.
And?
Don't do this.
I think, what, is he fake coughing now?
But you don't have anything to say about the harmony.
Well, his cough isn't so bad that it stops him from singing.
Well, you know, you know when people stutter? That they're able to stop stuttering? You know, like when they sing, remember the King's Speech? It's kind of like that.
And also, I don't think they harmonize very well.
You are wrong. I want you to take that back.
What?
We go no further.
What?
We
what?
Go no further.
No, I was just, I said something about, I said the cough and the crutches. I don't think they harmonize very well here. That's a take I'm sticking by.
I have no idea what you said.
She's looking at me, and it's so terrifying right now. She's looking at me with her tequila eyes.
I'm going to kill you.
This could be the end of me.
You're a deep sleeper when you actually do sleep. I wouldn't kill you. Of course I wouldn't. Fuck. God damn it. What an empty threat.
Ooh! Oh, guess what? His cough is back again.
At Cratchit's house. We do get another song, and it's Bless Us All, One and All. And yeah, we do get a few coughs from Tiny Tim.
Okay, the wine bottle is also by one of the piglets at the dinner table, by the way. I'm just saying, I can't help but notice that.
What do you mean?
When they're having their dinner, yeah. You know, the bottle of wine is by like Belinda or Bettina or whatever. I don't think they're of age.
Yeah, they are. They're teenagers. Are you kidding me? This is what, the 1800s? That's marrying age.
I actually want you to get through this song because I have a comment about the end of it.
Well, that's the end of it. And I'm going to go on to the Ghost of Christmas.
No, 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 no.
Wait, what? Yeah, huh?
I, being an observationist.
Is that a nice way of saying horrible fucking person?
No, and I did consult my clue book. I can't help but notice that Tiny Tim... is a different pigment than his dad and his brother.
That's because he has fucking consumption.
No.
That's because poison has wrecked his poor little froggy body.
No. Remember the movie Sixth Sense?
I do recall, yes.
Okay. We sure someone isn't poisoning Tiny Tim because his real heritage is about to come out?
Are you insane?
Like puppet Maury Povich is going to show up at the house with a vanilla envelope and say, the test results are in. Bob, you are not the father.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
And Bob.
You are broken.
Bob is going to have like real mixed feelings because Tiny Tim is way less irritating than the other frog. But also he couldn't harmonize for shit.
You are broken inside. You are as broken as Tiny Tim's respiratory system.
Which I'm not buying, I still say. His cough seemed really convenient.
The food. The treats. The booze.
Time to eat. Oh, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, I'm fine to eat. Here I am.
'Tis the season to be jolly and joyous. Tap solo.
Here's my fork.
Here's my fork. Okay, so Tiny Tim is a different color, right?
I mean, Maury Povich, it says, has something to say about it.
Okay. What if he's adopted?
Is he adopted? I don't remember that from the Christmas Carol.
I don't remember anything from the Christmas Carol. Except what I've seen in the movies.
That's because of tequila.
Yeah. I only remember what from Muppets at this point, because of tequila.
And that weird ginger present ghost is like, the ghost of yet to come. And yeah. Scrooge is like, you mean the future? And I immediately thought, like, look at the brain on Brad. Like, yes, you fucking idiot.
Would you say that Scrooge has been through some shit tonight? Maybe. I mean, we can barely get through the English language, and we haven't had any ghosts except for the ghost of the swing.
Okay, I gave him advice. Bring a roadie.
Booze would make you less able to understand what's going on.
I know, but it would make you a lot less anxious about it.
But it wouldn't make you any less stupid. I know. After the ghost of Christmas present dies, comes the ghost of Christmas future, also known as the ghost of Christmas things yet to be.
Christmas now?
No, things yet to be.
Oh, okay.
And I ain't gonna lie. Shit is bleak.
Yeah, there's a fucking giant spider puppet. Puppet.
I gotta be honest. Every time that spider puppet starts talking, I think he's gonna break into a song.
So, back from the house of sadness, I see.
It's very Tim Burton-esque. It's very Sweeney Todd. In the future, everything is blue. And those pigs talking about dead Scrooge are fucking savage. And we get to it's Bob Cratchit's house. And surely this will be a happy place. Nope. It's depressing.
Why?
Because Tiny Tim is no longer here.
So he so he wasn't faking the cough.
He was not.
That's what you're trying to say.
How do you feel about yourself?
Well, Bob is very pragmatic about Tim dying, probably because what was in the envelope. He was kind of like,
it's in the envelope.
That puppet Maury Povich brought that said he wasn't the father. He was like, at least now we use those crutches as kindling.
He's not Pollyanna.
Well,
no. God damn. What's wrong with you? I will say that you can hear in Kermit's voice, because he's voiced by Stephen Whitmire, and he talks about, there's a line where he's specifically talking about Tiny Tim dying and death just in general, and his voice cracks a little bit, and it really seems like he's talking specifically about Jim Henson.
It's all right, children. Life is made up of meetings and partings. That is the way of it. I am sure we shall never forget Tiny Tim or this first parting that there was among us.
And that makes me sad. And I think it's beautiful. It's beautiful, right?
I'm not saying. I'm not saying anything.
It's beautiful, right?
Nope, not saying. I'm not saying.
Maybe I'll play it for you. Maybe I'll get a different response.
Pray for you. Wait, isn't that trivia?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so yes.
It's beautiful.
I think. Okay, I would think that from a trivia perspective, anyone that would be coming into this movie trying to step in for Jim Henson and represent him.
For the first movie since.
Right. I would think that would be very emotional and does not negate the fact that Kermit and Tiny Tim can't harmonize.
You're a beast. You're a beast.
A roast beast?
You're going to be roasted. You were absolutely so wrong. I can't wait for your apology to us and to Christmas and to frogs.
Well,
and harmonies.
Scrooge is like, I'm not the man I was. And I was like, bitch, you were just kicking homeless people out of your office an hour ago.
Like, yep, but he was ready to change after the ghost of Christmas passed. Like, we talked about it earlier. Like, he was already, like, kind of starting to waver.
I know, but he wasn't throwing any coins out either. If it was me.
Not yet.
I would have been showing, like, show me the money.
He didn't have time. Oh, my God. He's being whipped back and forth between ghosts and timelines. I mean, this is very confusing. This whole thing is very confusing. And he is an older gentleman. I mean, he's considered an old man at this point, right? And this is 1800s London, so he's probably, what, 36? Just one more thing about somebody taking over Kermit's voice. I'm just going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you have the pressure of like taking over for Jim Henson, but your last name isn't Henson. And there is another Henson, like there. So taking over this role as somebody people would probably consider to be like on the outside, I just can't imagine how intimidating that would be. That would be too much pressure for me. It would definitely be, way too much for us. We would not be able to handle it. So good for him. That has nothing to do with the movie. Just, I mean, because he continued it on. So, you know, mazel. After that, Scrooge gets taken to his burial. And if that isn't a mind fuck, I don't even know what is. And hey, after all that tragic shit, Scrooge is back to the present time and he is a changed man. And I love this part of A Christmas Carol. I'll admit, my favorite version of this is Scrooged. Of at, like post
ghost. Oh, yeah.
I stand by that. Bill Murray did it beautifully. But this is wonderful. He loves Christmas. He loves everyone. He feels generous. Super generous, actually.
Scrooge gives the generous. People collecting money for the poor a ton of money, and then Beaker gives him a raggedy-ass scarf. There's a small part of me, the, like, evil part of me that I don't let out.
What do you mean you don't let out? It's been out this entire episode.
Just this episode. That I wanted Scrooge to have a brief relapse and be like, get the fuck out of here with your raggedy-ass scarf. And, like, choke him a little bit, like, your Beaker.
I bet that shit was covered in fleas.
Right. I mean, also, yeah, like, no, I'm good. Like, just here, take the money. I don't want your raggedy-ass scarf. But, like, even reformed Scrooge still gives the bookkeepers coal.
I'm just going to say, because you talked about earlier, when, like, in the beginning of the movie, when he was, like, not paying attention to the people singing at him, and he was just going straight forward or whatever, and, like, with the scarf thing. Consumption was a real thing. Then, right?
Right.
It was like an airborne thing, right?
Yes.
TV?
Yeah.
So I get his need to like quickly get to his office. They didn't have masks. Oh, that's what Beaker did. Beaker's like, here, have my mask.
No.
Scarf.
No, nice try.
That's sweet.
No.
He's giving what he can. Beaker's giving what he can. You're not saying that the sound doesn't warm your heart a little bit. I refuse to believe.
No.
You're lying. You're a lying liar.
No.
That lies.
Can we talk about when he goes? No. I want to talk about when he goes to Bob's house and he walks up to it. Mm. The wreath on Bob's door looks just like the one that Scrooge's nephew brought to Scrooge's work.
That's because he knew that Scrooge wanted nothing. Scrooge threw it at the rabbit.
Bob is a thrifty hoe.
Also, that rabbit that they did is something bunny. I can't remember what the name is. I think that character itself was thought of as really annoying to like the puppeteers. He was like cloyingly sweet, like kind of an annoying. So like being able to like throw stuff at it was actually, I think, a little bit like it was very cathartic for them to be able to do that.
Okay, but then Scrooge shows up to Bob's house,
mm-hmm.
and he's like,
with a turkey.
Okay, here's a gigantic ass uncooked turkey that you can eat in 12 hours once your wife cooks it. And isn't it kind of cruel to make Miss Piggy cook the turkey? Like, aren't pigs and turkeys like third cousins or something?
Holy shit. Wow.
Like kissing cousins or something?
Oh my God. Why? Because they're on Old McDonald's farm?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Weren't they like, well, they were at least in pens by each other.
It is a hoofed animal. It is nowhere close to a bird.
They grew up together. They were like,
they might have been pals, but they weren't cousins.
So isn't it kind of cruel that she has to, like, then cook the turkey?
No, pigs hate turkeys.
I didn't read.
There's bad blood.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're wrong. Don't. Scrooge invited the whole town to Bob's house. Like, come on in and Miss Piggy will take care of you once she cooks that friend of hers for 12
hours? I feel
like
this is more about you.
No. I'm just talking about, I'm just thinking about Miss Piggy now.
Uh-huh.
Like, he brought this present
uh-huh.
that she's going to then have to cook.
Yeah.
But then he also invited a whole bunch of people mm-hmm. that she had no idea were going to show up.
Yeah.
That she then has to host.
Yeah. She seemed fine with it.
She didn't seem...
She's a partier, for sure. And, I mean, Bob, for sure, is like a welcome, welcome, welcome. They had no way of, like, keeping that turkey. Like, they could, that's what they can do with the fucking leftovers.
Speaking of no way.
There's no way. Refrigeration.
I know. Speaking of no way.
And they spatchcocked that turkey.
Right.
So they was able to cook fast.
And all... Speaking of no way. And all those people in that small kitchen.
I don't like your tone.
How did that huge table get in there, and where did it come from? And how did it fit in the house?
Because he stopped by the big table emporium.
They didn't have that there in...
They did!
In
they did!
Scroogeville.
Yeah, it was right next to where the mice were singing. Please, give me some cheese.
But how did it fit in that small house?
It was foldable.
But how... But the house was foldable?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like tents... You know, that you can add on extra, like zippers. Oh. You can add on extra rooms.
Okay.
So they just expanded it. They just expanded it and they were able to fit that table.
Mm-hmm.
How cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what it is? Is that the Cratchits, the Cratchit family,
uh-huh.
were able to afford like an actual house. Like apartment or
dwelling. No,
they weren't able to afford like a dwelling. So they had to take over like an old business that had been abandoned. So their place was larger than normal, but it's because it wasn't actually like a house. So they may do. They may do. What's wrong with people like doing it for themselves? Why aren't you being supportive of Miss Piggy? Sister is doing it for herself. Like, she is getting shit done.
I'm
proud of her.
I'm being very supportive of... I'm sticking up for Miss Piggy.
For feeding all of those people. That is amazing.
I am on her side. I'm like, girl, you should not be expected to cook this fucking 30-pound turkey for the whole fucking village with no warning. I am on her side.
If somebody brought that 30-pound turkey to me...
Yeah?
And said... You need to feed everybody.
Yeah.
Like, would I have been like, what the fuck? What am I supposed to do? Or I'd be like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to cut it into like pieces and we're going to like roast it separately. And we're going to like, we'll get the table out like that. Actually, we can like upend this and then we can put it like this and then we can put a cloth over it. And that will, some people can sit there and there and there. Miss Piggy's a problem solver.
Okay.
You are really selling her short.
Okay. But if you and I had been in that situation, the step that you missed in that was that you or I would have called you or I.
Yeah.
Miss Piggy doesn't have a you or I.
How sad. That's the end of the movie.
Voila.
It's done.
Yes, it's over now.
Only one button push. And that was even, like, questionable.
Not really.
Not really. I would have gotten you with something no matter what.
Yeah, there
you
was...
You were just on your guard more because of the button push.
Yeah, I was... Yeah. Yeah.
I love this. I'm so glad we started with this one.
Yeah.
I really did. I had so much more trivia. I really, really did. It would have taken forever. It just would have taken forever and ever. Anytime there's Muppets or Jim Henson involved, trust me, there's lots of trivia. And it all deserves to be mentioned and all that. Luckily, we live in an age of the internet and people can research. And I'm not saying like you do your research.
No.
But if you're interested in this, and I think you should be, please read about it.
Yeah.
I am dying to hear your happy ending.
Okay. It took me forever to figure out my happy ending because I wanted to come up with the perfect one because I love Christmas so much.
You were agonizing over this.
Yes. And I went through like a lot of different things. So in honor of the start of our December movies, which as we have said, leads to our favorite time of the year, Christmas, and this might not make sense.
Okay.
My happy ending is The Grinch. Dr. Seuss, you say? What? That's complicated. Not Dr. Seuss so much. It is my tradition every year to put up my Christmas decorations on Thanksgiving while watching The Grinch, and then I watch it again when I am wrapping presents because I love the characters and how The Grinch stole Christmas so much.
Am I going to cry?
No, I don't. No. Oh,
thank God. I wouldn't.
I know Dr. Seuss has some really problematic things in a lot of his books when it comes to race, and that's kind of really become a big thing that we've talked about, recently. And when I first heard that, I was like, is this a cancel culture thing? Which admittedly, I've myself gotten into, and that doesn't really have any merit. And then when I read about it, I was like, oh, damn, like Teddy Geiss.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
Wow. It was the time.
Okay, but I have to be honest and say I still really love The Grinch. And I wanted to say a few things about him. So here it is.
Oh, please. This is great.
Okay, so Teddy Geiss, also known as Dr. Seuss,
Theodore Geisel,
wrote him based upon himself. After he noticed... After a Christmas, he felt particularly curmudgeon-y. And there was a part of that, that was that he noticed that Christmas had kind of become, not he was grumpy, but he also thought it had really become about commercialism and about like the giving and stuff. And that's where the concept of the Grinch came from. And I love that because the story of the Grinch was he was like this outsider that just sort of like took and took and took, but like it really evolved into something else. And the Grinch was his favorite character of everything that he wrote.
Really?
Yes. Of every character that Dr. Seuss wrote, the Grinch was his favorite character. It was his all caps vanity license plate, according to his biographer. And the biographer, it was Brian J. Jones, related a story of two kids from New Jersey, Bob and David, with the unfortunate last name of the Grinch. They wrote to Dr. Seuss and they kind of complained about the Grinch, and they're like, every year we get teased because we've been named after a monster. And Dr. Seuss actually wrote them back, and they're like, no, the Grinch is a hero. Like, he was a changed man. So go tell those other kids, it's not where you start, it's where you end up.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And that makes me think that it is good that there's been a lot of conversations about Dr. Seuss books. And should they be banned and or not, or at least the ones that clearly have racial stereotypes in them, and books that in general that were written a long time ago, like The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, which has the N-word in it over 200 times, or The Merchant of Venice, which has a lot of Jewish stereotypes in it, but they were written in a time that were like a long time ago. But
And not only that, there was a point where patriotism meant a certain amount of racism, honestly.
Right.
Which is horrible, but and not excusing, but that is the case.
But I think with the Dr. Seuss books, for whatever reason, maybe because he has so many characters that are so beloved, it seems like a little bit not... There's been more dialogue about it than there's been more cancel versus... You know, that there's actually been discussion about it. And I love that. And I love the Grinch and I always will. But I also love the idea that there can be something controversial come up and that people can just start talking about it and having difference of opinions. And I don't know. So that's why I came up with this as my happy ending.
I got to be honest.
Yeah.
Aside from And it's not a narcissism thing. Aside from when you had me as a happy ending, just because it was so touching. So thoughtful and so sweet. Besides that, this is my favorite happy ending that either of us have ever done.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
I had never even considered that when it came to Ted Geisel, that, you know, the same thing. I've talked about it before, like, what bothers me about cancel culture is that it doesn't leave any room for redemption, doesn't leave any room for people to learn and change, I feel. And this is beautiful. I think this is insanely beautiful and absolutely perfect for A Christmas Carol.
Well, and it was good for me too, because I am a quick to cancel culture person. Like, I am a quick to be like, all right, that person doesn't believe in something that I feel strongly about. Mm-hmm. So I'm done with them.
Yeah.
But I love Dr. Seuss so much that it was my knee-jerk reaction to go, okay, well, I'm just going to forgive her everything. But the bad things about Dr. Seuss were not about white people. So it was like easy for me to, so then I had to really reflect. So I would love for there to, like, if people have a difference of opinions about this, or please, let's talk about it. But anyway.
I think he probably would have loved nothing more than for people to talk about it and try and...
Yeah. But also think about, his name is Theodore Geisel, and he, a lot of his books were in the 40s, 50s, 60s, World War II, you know, he probably had a lot to learn and I hope would have loved this dialogue. I really hope would have.
And like I said, I meant it when I said patriotism at some point meant a certain amount of racism, because that you were expected to, it's not an excuse. I'm just saying that is how life was at a certain point, especially if you were putting out a medium that many people would be able to see, that you needed to put out something that reflected, yay, America, bad, whoever we're attacking. And it was, I think, way easier for them to create caricatures,
right,
of people that are not us. It's not right.
Right. Exactly. And
thank God, you know, we're able to have this time where isn't it better that we've, you know, kind of grown and be able to see, like, this is wrong, rather than carrying on those things,
right,
over and over and over. And part of that is having these things that, you know, the
things that were wrong, the things that we didn't do right.
Yeah. And literature and things like that, where we can see, like, oh God, that kind of feels icky.
Yeah. That feels,
why does it feel icky? Well, because of this. And then that's how it goes. So
yeah,
I love this, Katrina.
Okay.
This is perfect.
Yay. Good. Okay. Good.
I can't believe you agonized over this. This is beautiful.
Oh, good. Okay.
What's her next movie?
Our next movie is going to be hysterical, because it's not movie. It's two shows. We're doing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Charlie Brown's Christmas. And Anna is taking the con on Rudolph, and I am taking the con on Charlie Brown's Christmas, and we're going to record both of those in one night and flip-flop. Like, yes. Going to be one episode.
Yeah, it'll be one episode.
Yeah.
So we're doing
cartoons, which I know people are not necessarily, but it's Christmas. We want to do a couple iconic Christmas cartoons.
Everybody's seen them.
Everyone's seen them. We want to make them fun.
You dentist all the time. Yeah,
I want to be a dentist.
I listen to Charlie Brown's The Vince. I don't know if I can pronounce his last name.
I want to hear you try it.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I listen to it every year when I put up my Christmas tree.
Yeah. So we just want to have fun with it. We're having fun with our Christmas episodes.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Really appreciate it. And thank you, Katrina Porter.
Thank you, Anna Serene.
Wonderful, as always. And until next time, bye, everybody.
Bye.